الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، the author he mentions رحمه الله تعالى سؤال question: ما هو توحيد الأسماء والصفات؟ What is the توحيد of الأسماء والصفات؟ The oneness of Allah عز وجل with regards to his names and attributes. With regards to his names and attributes. And the questions, as we see, they continue in order from that which has preceded in the discussion about al-iman billahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, believing in Allah azza wa jal, and that means to believe in his oneness, in his actions, and in his beautiful names and lofty attributes of perfection. And this is called al-tawheed al-ilmi, the knowledge-based tawheed. And this leads one to realize the great reality that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. And this is al-tawheed al-amali, al-tawheed al-amali. We have seen, alhamdulillah, a number of affairs with regards to these issues. So these questions here, like the questions in the previous class, are related to having knowledge about Allah, learning about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the previous class, we studied Tawheed al-Rububiyya, learning about the actions of Allah Azza wa Jal. In this class now, we discuss bi-idhnillahi ta'ala Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat, the Tawheed of the beautiful names and lofty attributes of perfection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this way, we will know our Lord by the permission of Allah. It's the greatest knowledge, and the greatest favor, and the greatest blessing in this life is to know Allah. To know Allah in the manner He has prescribed and legislated, the manner He has revealed in His revelation, in law and legislation. And the greatest blessing and favor in the hereafter is to seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this life, with knowledge and insight and the favor of Allah, a believer, he will see Allah with his heart, meaning he will know Him. He will know Him and he will surrender, he will submit to Him. And he will comply in obedience to Him and he will know Him. His Lord by His beautiful names and lofty attributes of perfection. He will know His Lord by His lordship and His authority, majesty, and command. He will know His Lord by surrendering and submitting to Him and seeing the great help and aid and blessing that comes from His Lord in doing this. He will know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the great favor of Allah upon those who are granted success to do this in this life is that in the hereafter, Allah, He will reveal Himself to them. And they will see him with their eyes. May Allah make us from them. So we study now the question the author he mentioned, rahimahullah, with regards to the names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. The author he says, Al-Jawab. The response, هو الإيمان بما وصف الله تعالى به نفسه في كتابه ووصف به رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم من الأسماء الحسنى والصفات الأولى. It is to believe the answer. The answer to the question, what is the Tawheed? What is the Tawheed of the Al-Asma? What is the Tawheed of Al-Asma al-Sifat? The author, he says, Rahimahullah, it is to believe in what Allah, the Most High, has described Himself with in His book, and what His Messenger, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, has described Him with, meaning in the authentic Sunnah, meaning in the authentic Sunnah of His most beautiful names and lofty attributes of perfection. So this is the first affair, to believe in the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning to believe, yani to believe in al-asma al-husna, to believe in the most beautiful names of Allah azza wa jal, is to believe that they are just that kulluha husna, balighatun al-ghaya fil husn, that all of Allah's names, they're the most beautiful, at the heights of beauty, the heights of beauty and perfection. And that is because these names here indicate the most noble and the greatest of all things, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the names of Allah azza wa jal. And likewise, these names, they consist of the greatest and most amazing meanings and descriptions and characteristics and traits. The greatest and most amazing meanings, characteristics and traits. Okay, this is what these names consist of. They're surpassing the peak of beauty, all of them, and they are names for Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth. And all of these names consist of the most beautiful and amazing and perfect meanings and descriptions and characteristics. So from here, the people of knowledge, they say that al-asma al-husna a'lamun wa-awsaf. A'lamun wa-awsaf. That the names, the beautiful names of Allah Azza wa Jal, they are names and likewise descriptions. They're names and likewise descriptions. They're not just simple names with no meanings. Rather, they're names with the greatest and the best of all meanings. Rather, they're names with the greatest and the best of all meanings. And every name, there is an attribute or a sifa, a description or characteristic that is derived from that name. That is derived from that name. So every name is a name of Allah. And every name has a specific attribute, or even sometimes attributes that are derived from that name, the attributes of perfection. So here we see that they are al-asma al-husna. They are the best. They're the best and most beautiful names. They're the best and most beautiful names. And this is from the aspect of that. And this is from the aspect of that. So this is what it means to believe in the names. As for those attributes that are derived from those names, and the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jalla that are mentioned likewise in the book and in the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then the author, he touches on this next. So before we move on, we see that every name, there's an attribute that is derived, and an attribute that is derived, an attribute of perfection. But not every attribute that is mentioned for Allah Azza wa Jal is a there's a name derived from it. We understand this point? Every name that's established in the book and the Sunnah for Allah the Most High, there's an attribute that's derived from that beautiful name. Sometimes even attributes, more than one, derived from that one name. Derived from that one name. But not every attribute or description that Allah mentioned about Himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned about him, has a name derived from it. You understand? So from this aspect, when we discuss the names are more specific. And as for the descriptions, then they're more general. Because every name has a description, but not every description has a name. You understand? So from here, the people of Naz, they say, باب الأخبار يعني الأخبار عن الله سبحانه وتعالى أوسع أوسع من الباب من باب الأسماء من باب الأسماء. To have information to speak about Allah and His descriptions, this is more general and includes more issues and affairs than the issues of talking about His names. سبحانه وتعالى سبحانه وتعالى. So we see what it means to believe in the names, the most beautiful names in general. And no doubt in reality, these topics here, they're vast. This is the knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jal. And we're not going to go into many details, but some of them that the author he touches on, we'll mention them. We'll clarify briefly. We'll clarify briefly. A lot of the topics here that the author he's mentioning now, and especially after this affair, there are detailed affairs. But again, the author, he summarized them. And it's good in this manner, because many of the issues that we discuss, especially in this work here specifically, maybe it will be the first time that some of the students have heard some of these affairs. So to just learn it in general and to get a good understanding of it in this manner is good. And then later on to study it again in a more comprehensive work. In a more comprehensive work. And if you want to study the issues of the principles and the names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jalla, then you will start with the book of Shaykh Uthaymeen Rahimahullah, Al-Qawa'id Al-Muthla. And there's great details there. And those benefits there, the majority of them are derived from the different works of Ibn Qayyim and also his Shaykh, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. But Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, in his book Bada' and Fawaid, he mentioned a lot of those principles, those very same principles that you find mentioned by Shaykh al-Taymiyyah and also in Madarij al-Salikin and other works by Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala. So to learn these issues briefly or to touch on them, yani lightly and for the first time is beneficial to be aware of these topics, to be aware of these issues, and to have a general understanding of the issue itself, to picture it and to know the ruling, and then later on to go into more detail. Bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. So with regards to al-asma al-husna, this is the affair that we believe that all of the beautiful names of Allah Azza wa Jal barikatun fi husna. Al-asma al-husna barikatun fi husna. Barikatun fi Al-Husn, that the beautiful names, all of them, they're beyond the peak of perfection and beauty. And this is because all of them are names for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the most beautiful, Jameel. He is the most noble and the most high, tabaraka wa ta'ala. So no doubt they are the most beautiful names. And likewise, each of these beautiful names, they indicate the greatest and most beautiful and amazing meanings and descriptions, perfect descriptions of perfection without any deficiency or shortcoming whatsoever. Without any deficiency or shortcoming whatsoever. This is the summary of meaning of what it means to believe in the beautiful names. So this is the summary of what it means to believe in the beautiful names. As for believing in the attributes, as-sifat al-ula, the attributes of perfection, the law of the attributes of perfection of Allah Azza wa Jalla, like the author he mentioned again, is to believe in what Allah has described himself in his book, and to believe in what Allah has described himself in his book, and what his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has described him with. And then he mentions the points here. He says, rahimahullah, wa imraruha kama ja'at bila kayf. كما جمع الله تعالى بين إثباتها ونفي التكليف عنها في كتابه في غير موضع فقوله تعالى يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون به علما. We affirm them as they have come without asking how. Without asking how. What does it mean without asking how? بلا تكليف بلا كيف يعني بلا كيف ها huh? بلا كيف he says here. وَإِمْرَارُهَا كَمَا جَاءَتْ بِلَا كَيْفٍ. And we affirm them as they have come without asking how. Without asking how. What does he mean by that? Without asking how about what? Huh? About the reality. About the reality. How are they? How does Allah hear? How does Allah see? How does Allah know? We don't ask how about the reality. But as for the meaning, this is not what is intended. As for how, the meaning, we know the meaning. So we don't say you don't ask about the meaning. No, the meaning is clear. The meaning is clear. So when they say bila kaif, yani fil kaifiyya, yani how it occurred, yani how Allah sees, how Allah hears, how his attributes are, the manner of the attributes. We affirm them as they have come without asking how. Just as Allah has joined between affirming the attributes and negating any likeness or comprehension of them in many places in his book. Among them, Allah, he says, He, meaning Allah, He knows what is before them and what is behind them, while they will never encompass Him in knowledge. While they will never encompass Him in knowledge. So He knows. He knows, subhanahu wa ta'ala, all about His creation, and nothing is hidden from Him. لا تخفى عليه خافية. But as for the people, as for the creation, then they only know about Allah what He has revealed to them. Then they only know about Allah what He has revealed to them. What He has revealed to them, in his books of revelation and on the tongues of his prophets and messengers, alayhi salatu wassalam. So in the revelation, Allah did not clarify the details of how his attributes are, but he clarified who he is and what his attributes are. And he clarified them in the final revelation, law and legislation, in the perfect Arabic language, in the pristine, precise, most eloquent and beautiful Arabic language, which the meanings are very clear. Quran and Arabian, mubin, in the clear Arabic tongue. And likewise, Allah has made that clear Quran, the Al-Quran, Al-Mubin, He has made it Huda Linnas, as a means of guidance for the people. So for it to be guidance, it must be understood in a clear language. And what is apparent from that language must be understood likewise. So therefore, His names and attributes, the meaning of them are clear in the Arabic language. They're clear in the Arabic language. And this is what we know about them. So therefore, we affirm them in this manner. So He says, وَإِمْرَارُهَا كَمَا جَاءَتْ بِلَا كَيْفٍ. وَإِمْرَارُهَا كَمَا جَاءَتْ بِلَا كَيْفٍ. What does إِمْرَارُهَا mean? وَإِمْرَارُهَا بِمَا جَاءَتْ بِلَا كَيْفٍ. وَإِمْرَارُهَا كَمَا جَاءَتْ بِلَا كَيْفٍ. إِمْرَار is the مصدر. From أَمَرَّ يُمِرُّ. أَمَرَّ يُمِرُّ إِمْرَارًا. And what it means in the Arabic language, الإثبات. الإثبات. إِمْرَارُهَا يعني إثباتها. إِمْرَارُهَا كَمَا جَاءَتْ بِلَا كَيْفٍ. يعني إثباتها كَمَا جَاءَتْ بِلَا كَيْفٍ. That you affirmed it. الإمرار الإثبات. So that means that you affirm them. That you, if we affirm them as they have come, imraruha. You find this term mentioned a lot in the books of the Salaf, from the early generations, from the best of this ummah, from al-Qurun al-Mufaddalah. You will find them when they discuss these affairs. This is the term they use, imraruha kama jaat. Imraruha kama jaat. What does that mean? يعني إثباتها كما جاءت. كما جمع الله تعالى بين إثباتها. بين إثباتها ونفي التكييف. And this is what it means. To make al-imrar. To affirm without asking how. To affirm without asking how the reality is. And this is what he's mentioning here. So it says, وَقَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُمَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. Likewise, The statement of Allah the Most High, the meaning of which is there is nothing like unto Him, and He is the all-hearer, the all-seer. He is the all-hearer, the all-seer. So this verse here is a fundamental principle, and it's very clear, alhamdulillah. Then in the first portion of this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has negated any resemblance to Him whatsoever. So there's nothing resembling Allah azza wa jal whatsoever. There's nothing resembling Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Laysa kamithlihi shay'un. There's nothing like unto His resemblance. There's nothing like unto His resemblance. Right? There's nothing like unto Him whatsoever. Not resembling Him in any manner. Wa huwa as-sami'ul basir. And He is the all-hearing and the all-seeing. And He is the all-hearing and the all-seeing. So in the second part of the verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He affirmed for Himself the hearing and the seeing. So therefore, when we gather between these affairs, we see that there is negation and affirmation. Negating any resemblance or comparison to the creation whatsoever, and then affirmation of specific attributes, specific names and attributes, specific names and attributes. So Allah, He is as-sami', meaning He has the perfect hearing, not like anything in the creation. He is al-basir, meaning He has the perfect ability to see, not like anything in the creation. Not like anything in the creation. So one, He must realize this affair. So many things in the creation, they're able to hear and see. But Allah, He does not see like those things whatsoever. Laysa kamithlihi shay. But they see and Allah sees. But there's no comparison or resemblance in the way that they see. But the meaning of seeing is known. So Allah has affirmed that for Himself. And likewise has affirmed that for the people. وَجَعَلَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ. So also seeing as well, Allah can see. And we know what that means. And Allah has affirmed that for Himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also He has affirmed for the creation that some of them can see, like the human being, for example. He can see, and Allah has affirmed that in His book, but there's nothing like unto Him. There's nothing resembling Him. There's nothing comparing to Him. So He does not see or hear the way the creation sees and hears, but He sees and hears. And we know what that means. This is clear. So the meaning is clear. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. As for the how, this is what we do not know, and this is what we entrust to Allah. The how. As for the meaning, it's known. We don't say, Wallahu a'lam, I don't know what it means. As-sami'. Wallahu a'lam, I don't know what it means. Al-alim. La, al-alim means the one who has encompassing knowledge. As-sami' is the one who has encompassing hearing. Right? So this is clear. We don't say, oh, I don't know. Wallahu a'lam. Allah knows best what it means that He hears. Allah knows best what it means. Annahu yasma'uka wa yara. Right? Allah, we don't say that. No, we know what that means. As for how, this is the one that we say Allah knows best about that. Because Allah told us that He hears and sees, but He did not tell us how He hears and sees. And He also informed us that it's not like anything in the creation. Waleh, this is clear for you. Alhamdulillah. I hope you understand. Because what I'm mentioning, if you understand it, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, there are shubuhat that are trying to be spread now and brought back up that people are trying to mislead the people with regards to this affair. If you understand what I'm speaking about now, and it's clear for you, and it makes 100% sense because it's the fitrah, alhamdulillah, and it's clear in the book, then you won't have a problem whenever you hear the likes of these shubuhat if you're truthful. If you're truthful. As for those who are insincere and not truthful, or those who do not truly understand, whenever they hear those shubuhat, they'll go in their hearts and affect them. They'll go in their hearts and affect them. They have doubts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have doubts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We just mentioned in the introduction, barakallahu fikum, that the greatest favor, the greatest blessing is to know Allah. It's to know Allah. This is why Ahlul Sunnah, they defend this chapter here so firmly. That's why Ahlul Sunnah, the Salaf, they do not play around when it comes to discussing about the creed of the names of Allah Azza wa Jal and His attributes. They defend them sternly. And they go to war with the people of innovation. That's why you find Ibn Qayyim, for example, at the head of them in his time. He has books called Ijtima' al-Juyush al-Islamiyya ala Al-Mu'attila wal-Jahmiyya, Ijtima' al-Juyush, the gathering of the armies. Ijtima' al-Juyush al-Islamiyya, the gathering of the Islamic armies, the Islamic forces against who? The Mu'attila wal-Jahmiyya. The Mu'attila, those who deny the attributes. And the Jahmiyya, that's who they are likewise. The Mu'attila and the Jahmiyya, they're the heads of them. The leaders of those who deny the attributes. What is he talking about? Gathering the forces. And he's going to go fight them with a weapon? No, he's going to let them have it. He's going to clarify their falsehood and that they're liars and they misunderstand and they're deviant. And he's clarifying that aloud in our books and spreading them over the lands and clarifying their falsehood and their deviation and refuting them with knowledge and with sincerity, truthfulness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, public and private. Alhamdulillah. So this is the way. Because if you misunderstand these affairs, you will not know Allah. They think they know Allah, but they don't know Allah. They know something else. They know something else. Even some of them, they believe in a Lord that's not up, he's not down, he's not left, he's not right. He's not in the creation, he's not outside the creation. That's what they say. They believe in a Lord that has hearing, that hears without hearing, and sees without seeing, and knows without knowing. Subhanallah. If you want to describe something that does not exist, how do you do that? What's the best way to describe something that does not exist? It's not above the creation. It's not outside the creation. It's not inside the creation. It's not on the left. It's not on the right. It's not up. It's not down. So therefore, it doesn't exist. So they wound up, because of their deviation and their lack of success from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to rely on the text. They put their intellects in front of the text of the Quran and the Sunnah, and it led them to believe in a Lord that doesn't exist. And many of them, this is their aim and their goal, to cause doubts in the hearts of the believers about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because whenever the aqidah is corrupted, the actions are corrupted. And whenever the actions are corrupted, the Muslims are weak. And Allah, He does not respond. He does not help them. Humiliation befalls them. But whenever the aqidah is strong, then the actions are upright. The believers are firm and they're steadfast. And whenever that happens, they're granted victory over their enemies. You understand that? So the enemies of Islam, they are aware of these affairs. They are aware of these affairs. They have mustashrikun, orientalists. They're called Middle Eastern experts. Now, they're called Middle Eastern experts. They read these texts. They learn about these affairs, and they study history. And if you read these texts and study history, you'll see what happened and how the believers became rulers of the world, how they conquered the lands in the briefest of time, from the east to the west, because of sincere faith and following the Quran and the Sunnah. And holding fast to that, preferring that over everything else, and the way of the Salaf, they were granted victory over the Romans and over the Persians and over anybody else who came in their way. And over anybody else who came in their way. And their people who opposed them, they were humiliated. And those who were humiliated, their people, whenever the da'wah reached them purely, they accepted Islam and became the best of believers. And this is the aim and the goal in the first place. So the enemies of Islam, they're aware of these affairs, to learn about the aqidah and to know Allah Azza wa Jalla is the greatest blessing and the greatest favor. You must have time for this and money for this. You must have desire for this and concern for this. You must love it. You must love it. Love to learn about the names of Allah. Love to learn about the tawheed of Allah. Some people, you talk, ar-rububiyyah, ar-rububiyyah, ar-rububiyyah. We talked about that yesterday. You should be able to talk about it every day of your life. The rububiyyah of Allah Azza wa Jalla. He's your creator, he's your provider, he's your sustainer, he's the one disposing your affairs. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's the one providing your eyesight, he's the one who's giving you life, he's the one who gave you shape and your form. If you're scared, he's the only one who can help you. This is from the rububiyyah of Allah. You learn about Allah, you will love him. You learn about his beautiful names and attributes. You will love him and you will seek nearness to him and you will worship him and you will find the great favor and blessing of Allah Azza wa Jalla in your life. From doing that, from seeking knowledge and from learning. من يريد الله به خيرا يفقهه في الدين. Understand that? Whoever Allah wants good for, he grants him understanding in the religion. So Allah Azza wa Jal, ليس كمثله شيء وهو السميع البصير. There's nothing like unto him, nothing resembling him whatsoever. هل تعلم له السميع؟ لم يكن له كفوا أحد. ليس كمثله شيء وهو السميع البصير. But and he is the all-hearing, the all-seeing. وقوله تعالى لا تدرك الأبصار وهو يدرك الأبصار وهو اللطيف الخبير. No vision can grasp him. No vision can grasp him, but he grasps all vision. He is the most subtle and courteous, well acquainted with all things. The author he says وغيره ذلك and other similar verses. So no vision can grasp him. Yani no vision can see him in entirety. الإدراك يعني الحاطة. So no vision can encompass him. No vision can encompass him. So this does not mean that you cannot see him. It doesn't say that you cannot see him, but it says that no vision can encompass him. لا تدركه الأبصار. The vision cannot encompass him. Meaning those believers whom Allah honors on the day of resurrection and in the Jannah, they will see him, but they will not encompass him. Just like right now, you can see the masjid, but you can't encompass it. Right? You're seeing. You don't have the ability to see the whole masjid. You just see the wall right there. Right? But you can't see everything. It's something that you can see now. Even in the dunya, there's things that you can see, but you don't encompass it in your vision. You don't see the whole thing. You see one part of it. You see one part of it. So again, some of these points here, I will emphasize them because there are deviants who try to say contrary. to say this is a proof that Allah he cannot that Allah he cannot be seen. This is a proof that Allah cannot be seen. La tudriku al-absar. Right? But that's not true, because there's a difference between the ru'ya and the idraq al-basar. You understand that? There's a difference between seeing, between encompassing something with the sight. Encompassing something with the sight. So this is the case. وفي ترمذي عن أبي بن كعب رضي الله عنه أن المشركين قالوا لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يعني لما ذكر آلهتهم أنسب لنا ربك أنسب لنا ربك فأنزل الله تعالى قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد. In the Sunan of at-Tirmidhi from Ubay ibn Ka'b رضي الله عنه, he narrated that when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم mentioned the pagan gods, whenever he was clarifying the falsehood of them, then they said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Unsub lana rabbaka," attribute to us the lineage of your Lord, yani an-nasab. But yani what it means, that describe for us your Lord. Yani sif lana rabbaka, unsub lana rabbaka, sif lana rabbaka, mention for us the description of your Lord. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, unsub could mean from a nisbah, yani mention the lineage of your Lord. Or it's some wording, sif lana rabbik, describe for us your Lord. So the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, so Allah Azza wa Jal, he revealed his statement, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدْ. To the end of the verses, لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَقُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ. That say he is Allah, the one and only, Al-Ahad. Allahu الصَّمَدْ. Allah, the self-sufficient master, and the one who has authority and command over all things and needs nothing whatsoever, yet all things need him. He doesn't need food or drink. He doesn't need sleep or help. He needs nothing. He needs nothing. Al-Ghani, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and all things need him. And all things need him for their very existence. Absolutely. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is as-Samad. And he's the one who has all of the most perfect, all of the most beautiful, perfect attributes. All of the most beautiful attributes of perfection. And he is complete and perfect in his knowledge, complete and perfect in his authority, complete and perfect in his command, complete and perfect in his life. All of his attributes are beyond perfection. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, beyond perfection. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's at the peak and beyond perfection. Say he is Allah the one, Allah the self-sufficient master. وَالصَّامَدُ أَلَّذِي لَمْ يَلِدْ لَمْ يَلَدْ أَلَّذِي لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ. So the narration continues. And then الصَّامَدْ is the one who begets not, nor was he begotten. And he doesn't have fathers or mothers. He doesn't have sons or daughters. He doesn't have fathers or mothers. He doesn't have sons or daughters. لِأَنَّهُ لَيْسَ شَيْءٌ يُولَدُ إِلَّا سَيَمُوتُ. But he says, because there's nothing that will be born except is going to die. وَلَيْسَ شَيْءٌ يَمُوتُ إِلَّا سَيُورَثُ. And there's nothing that's going to die except is going to be inherited. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى لَا يَمُوتُ وَلَا يُورَثُ. And indeed Allah the Most High, he does not die, nor is he inherited. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. There is none co-equal unto him. قَالَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ شَبِيهٌ وَلَا عَدِيلٌ وَلَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ. Meaning there is no one like him and no rival, no one comparable to him whatsoever, and nothing is similar to him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing is similar to him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. سؤال, question, ما دليل الأسماء الحسنى من الكتاب والسنة. What is the evidence for the most beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the Quran and the Sunnah? الجواب, قال الله عز وجل, Allah the Almighty, he said, ولله الأسماء الحسنى فدعوه بها وذروا الذين يلحدون وذروا الذين يلحدون في أسمائه. And all the most beautiful names belong to Allah, so call on him by them. So call on him by them, and leave the company of those who belie or deny any of the utter impious speech against his beautiful names, subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَدُعُوهُ بِهَا. And here, so call on him by them. This is one of the meanings. فَدُعُوهُ بِهَا. فَدُعُوهُ بِهَا. And he called on Allah by his beautiful names. If you were seeking forgiveness, you called on Allah by the beautiful name. By the beautiful name, Al-Ghafur, or Al-Ghafar, or Al-Tawwab, Al-Tawwab. Or Al-Afu, you call on Allah by the beautiful name that is suitable for your call. فَدْعُوهُ وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا. You need help, you call on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by his names of might. And his names of power and authority, and his names of help likewise. And Nasir, Ni'man Mawla. Yeah, Mawla, you call him Ba'arrab, Ya Rab. Ya Rab, but this is one of the most important names to call on Allah. This is what the majority of the supplications of the prophets and messengers in the book of Allah, they call on Allah, and they begin the supplication, Ya Rab. Rabbi, Rabbi, Rabbana. Rabbi, Rabbi, Rabbana. Because it has this meaning of help and support and protection and guidance. Yani, and direction for those who believe. For those who believe in the Lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you need help, you call on Al-Aziz, he's mighty, he's powerful. Al-Qawi, you want to be strong, you need quwwah, you need strength, you call on Al-Qawi subhanahu wa ta'ala. You call on Al-Kareem, you need help, Ya Manan. You're looking for something from the dunya, the worldly life, or from the benefits in the religion and knowledge and the likes like this, the ability to be obedient to Allah. You ask for the minnah of Allah, the bestowal and the bounty and favor and the blessing of Allah, Ya Manan. Ya Manan is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful name. Manan, Manan, Al-Kareem. These are beautiful. You call on Allah by these names. You call on Allah by these names. This is what it means. Fadu'uhu biha. Call on him by his names. Call on him by his names. Also, some of the people of knowledge, they mentioned Fadu'uhu biha, and he called him by these names. And he is Al-Kareem. He is Al-Wahhab. He is Al-Manan. You call on him by these names. Fadu'uhu biha. And he called him with these. With these names, these most beautiful names that Allah clarified for Himself, you call Him by those names. Yani Allah is Ar-Rahman. Allah He is Ar-Rahim. Allah He is Al-Malik. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقَالَ سُبْحَانَ قُلِ ادْعُوا اللَّهَ أَوِدْعُوا الرَّحْمَنَ أَيَّمَا تَدْعُوا فَلَهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. And He said, the Most High, the meaning of which is, say, O Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, invoke Allah or invoke the Most Gracious. Yani ud'u. Call, invoke. The Allah, or invoke the Most Gracious. And even call him by his name Allah, or call him by his name Ar-Rahman. By whatever name you invoke him, it is the same. For to him belong the best and most beautiful of names. The best and most beautiful of names. وَقَالَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. And Allah, he said, أَلَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ لَهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى وَغَيْرُهَا مِنَ الْآيَاتِ. And Allah, that none has the right to be worshipped but he, to him belong the best names. The author, he says, and many other verses. So here he mentioned here, and he specifically about al-Asma al-Husna, Allah affirmed that to Allah belong all of the most beautiful names. One, two, three verses. Three verses. Surah al-A'raf, Surah al-Isra, and then after that, Surah Taha. There's a fourth verse. Huh? Surah al-Hashr. Surah Al-Hashr, one of Allah, he mentioned clearly that Lahu al-Asma al-Husna. Who knows the verse? Huh? Who Allahu? There it is, that's the verse there. Huh? Who al-Khaliq, al-Bari, al-Musawwir. Lahu al-Asma'u al-Husna. Yusabbihu lahu ma fi samawati. وَالْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ وَالْحَكِيمُ هُوَ اللَّهُ الْخَالِقُ الْبَارِئُ الْمُصَوِّرُ. He is Allah, the creator, the originator, the one who gives everything in shape and its form. لَهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. To him belong all of the most beautiful names. To him belong all of the most beautiful names. So there are four verses in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal here mentioning that to Allah belong all of the most beautiful names. The first one is in A'raf, the second one in Isra, and the third one in Taha. This is what the author, he mentioned, rahimahullah. And the fourth one is in the end of Surah Al-Hashr. وَقَالَ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِنَّ لِلَّهِ 99 اسْمًا مَنْ أَحْصَاهَا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ مَنْ أَحْصَاهَا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ وَهُوَ فِي الصَّحِيحِ. The author, he says, rahimahullah, and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, indeed Allah has 99 names. Whoever enumerates them and then preserves them, he will enter paradise. And the author, he says, and this is found in a Sahih. This is from the narration of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, and the hadith is muttafiqun alayhi. Yani some of the wordings, yani man hafidhaha dakhala al-jannah, and this wording here, man ahsaha dakhala al-jannah. Inna lillahi 99 isma. Indeed, Allah, He has 99 names. Man ahsaha dakhala al-jannah. Whoever enumerates them, man ahsaha dakhala al-jannah. Another wording, man hafidhaha. Man hafidhaha, whoever memorized them. Then he will enter paradise. He will enter paradise. So this is the clarification from the Sunnah. As the question the author he mentioned, what is the proof from the Quran and Sunnah that the most beautiful names belong to Allah Azza wa Jalla. So he mentioned the verses clearly. Now he mentioned the evidence from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Hadith of Abi Hurairah radhiyallahu anhu, which is muttafaqun alayhi. So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's clarifying that Allah, he has 99 names, and about these names, or the issue of these names, or the affair of these names, is that whoever learns them, understands them, and upholds the rights of that knowledge and application in his life, he went into paradise. This is what it means, al-ihsa. Al-ihsa wal-hifz lil asma'i al-husna hadihi al-99. That means that the one who learns them, he understands them, and he works by way of that knowledge. The one who learns them, understands them, memorizes them, and works by way of that knowledge, then he has the promise of entering paradise. It's not just simple memorization. It's not just simple memorization, right? A person, he must memorize them, and he must understand what they mean and what they indicate, and he must implement that knowledge in action. He must implement that knowledge in his life, and he uphold the rights of that knowledge. For example, whenever a believer, he learns that Allah is Al-Alim, Alam Al-Ghuyub, La Takhfa Alayhi Khafiya. There's nothing hidden from Allah. Allah, He is the All-Knower. Nothing, the slightest thing is not hidden from Him. Nothing is hidden from Him whatsoever. Alim bi dhati sudur. He has all knowledge of that which is in the breast of the people. No one can hide from Him whatsoever. He knows everything. Nothing is hidden from Him whatsoever. Then the believer must, upon learning that about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fear Him and revere Him. Fear Him and revere Him. Fear Him and revere Him, and not be somewhere or doing something that Allah is not pleased with, because Allah is aware and knows. And the one who knows that Allah is aware and knows, this knowledge, if it's beneficial, it will bring about fear and reverence in his heart. If it's not beneficial, it will not bring about fear and reverence in his heart. Meaning he will act the same. Likewise, As-Sami' al-Basir, the one who knows that Allah, He is all-hearing and all-knowing, then it would change the way that he acts. It will cause him to check his tongue and to check his eyes. Cause him to think twice before he speaks. Will cause him to repent often, because he knows that Allah sees him. He knows that Allah hears him. He knows that nothing from his circumstances or situations are hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna Allaha haqqu an yustahya minhu min al-nas. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned, indeed, Allah has more right that one should be shy from than even the people. So to learn these names, to memorize these names, to understand the meaning of these names, and then to implement that knowledge in one's life. Whoever does this, دخل الجنة. He went to paradise. But there's a point to be made here. It doesn't mean that Allah only has 99 names. But rather there are 99 names, and this is the issue with regards to them. Whoever learns them, memorizes them, understands them, and applies that knowledge, he went to paradise. It doesn't mean that Allah, He only has 99 names. This is not understood from this text here. Inna lillahi tis'atan wa tis'ina isma. Indeed, Allah, He has 99 names. Man ahsaha dakhala jannah. Whoever made the ihsa, and what we just discussed, then he went to paradise. For example, if I were to tell you right now, I have in my pocket $99. Whoever can answer this question, he can get it. All of it one time. Whoever can answer this question right, he can have all of it, all 99, right? Does that mean that I only have 99? Do you understand from that? I only have $99? Like, that's my last $99, I'm ready to give it up for you? Is that understood from the context? Or that there's something, there's $99 and there's this recompense for it, right? That's what's understood. I have $99. Whoever can answer this question that I'm going to present, inshallah, you can have all of it, right? So I have 99, maybe have some more at home, for example, or in the bank, or in the car, or right? Somebody owes me something. Doesn't mean that that's all the money I have. So this text here, we understand it in the same light. That Allah, He has 99 names. And these 99 names, whoever learns them, understands them, memorizes them, and implement them in his life, what it requires, to implement what that requires in his life, for the sake of Allah, he went to paradise. From the evidences that the names of Allah are not restricted to 99, the next narration that the author mentions, rahimahullah. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أسألك اللهم بقول اسم هو لك سميت به نفسك أو أنزلته في كتابك أو علمته أحدا من خلقك أو استأثرت به في علم الغيب عندك أن تجعل القرآن العظيم ربيع قلبي الحديث. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, O Allah, I ask you by every name that is yours, with which you have named yourself, or revealed in your book, or taught to any of your creation, or kept with yourself in the knowledge of the unseen. Right? Allah, the Messenger of Allah is calling on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Allah, I ask you by every name that is yours, with which you have named yourself, or revealed in your book, or taught to any of your creation, or kept with yourself in the knowledge of the unseen. So there are names that Allah has that He has revealed in His book. And there are names that He has, subhanah, that He has taught to some of His creation. And there are names that He has kept with the knowledge of the unseen. All that. To make the Quran, asking in this manner, by these beautiful names, to make the Quran the spring of my heart. The spring of my heart. Until the end of the hadith. So here the shahid, for the issue that we're discussing, is the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this beautiful supplication, أو استأثرت به في علمي الغيب عندك. أو استأثرت به في علمي الغيب عندك. Or from the names that you have kept with yourself in the knowledge of the unseen. The knowledge of the unseen. So that means that there are names of Allah that He has kept with Himself in the knowledge of the unseen. Also from the evidences, the people of knowledge they mentioned with regards to this affair is that on the day of resurrection, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he'll be brought before Allah, before he's granted intercession, before he's granted permission for intercession, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he'll prostrate and he'll be inspired, revealed to him praises that he never knew before, praises of Allah. He will glorify and praise Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a manner he never knew before. Meaning that he'll be taught beautiful names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jalla to praise Him by that he didn't know before. That he didn't know before. Because glorifying and praising Allah is by praising Him and glorifying Him from His beautiful names and lofty attributes of perfection. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on that day will be taught these praises and glorification that he did not know before. That he did not know before. So Allah, He has more than 99 names. Tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allah knows best how many names He has. But as for these 99 names, what is intended from this narration, and Allah knows best, is that there are 99 names revealed in the book in the Sunnah, that whoever searches for them, and whoever learns them, whoever memorizes them, and understands them, and strives to uphold the rights of that knowledge and application in his life, then he will enter paradise. Then he will enter paradise. Then he will enter paradise. Wallahu a'lam. You come to my mind now that someone who is sincere in this, then before paradise, he'll be in paradise, right? In this life, he'll be in paradise. What does that mean? Because he knows Allah by these 95 names, and he strives to implement them in his life. This is how you get the Jannah before Jannah. This is the Jannah in the dunya. The knowledge of Allah, the Tawheed of Allah, the application of that knowledge in one's life, and striving against one's soul to implement that knowledge and to seek the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla, to avoid His anger and wrath, the baraka wa ta'ala. This is Jannah before Jannah. This is Jannah before Jannah. The Jannah in the heart, the Jannah of happiness, contentment, peace, joy, Islam. That is Islamu lillahi bi tawheed. Wa inqiyadu lahu bi ta'a wa bara'atu min ash-shirki wa ahlihi. This is how you find happiness and joy. This is how you find ease and contentment and peace, and all hardship and grief and worry goes away. And that's, and Jannah, there's no hardship, there's no grief, no worry. There's no hardship, there's no grief, there's no worry, there's no problems. There's no anxiety, there's no stress. What's going to happen next? You don't think about that stuff in Jannah. It's all gone. It's all gone from the hearts. There's nothing but peace. There's nothing but peace. This is what comes from knowing Allah likewise. But what is intended from the hadith is clear. What the Jannah, any Jannah, the Jannah in the hereafter. The Jannah in the hereafter. The Jannah in the hereafter. This narration here is an amazing narration. The last one that the author, he mentioned, which is a supplication. And it has been narrated by Al-Imam Ahmad and also Ibn Hibban and Tabari and others, rahimahumullah, from the hadith of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, ما أصاب أحد فقط هم ولا حزن فقال, and he mentioned the hadith, that no worry or grief has ever befallen anyone ever. And then he made this supplication. And then he made this supplication that's here in this text. That's here in this text. Except that he says, إِلَّا أَذْهَبَ اللَّهُ هَمَّهُ وَحُزْنَهُ أَذْهَبَ اللَّهُ هَمَّهُ وَحُزْنَهُ وَأَبْدَلُهُ مَكَانَهُ فَرَحًا. Except that Allah will take his worry and his grief and make it go away, and he will place in exchange of that faraha, yani happiness and joy. In some wordings, faraja, yani relief from distress. The wording that has come in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad in the supplication when he will say, Allahumma inni abduka wa ibnu abdika wa ibnu amatika. He said, oh Allah, I am your slave, the son of your slave and the son of your female slave. And I am your slave and my mother and father are your slave. And in my lineage will not get me anywhere. I am a slave and my father is a slave. And I am your slave and my father is your slave and my mother is your slave. And my mother's nasiyati biyadika. My forehead is in your hand. Maldin fiya hukmuka. Your command is going direct. Yani is direct with me. Yani meaning he surrenders and submit to it. Adlun fiya qada'uka. And your decree is just with me. And then he mentioned the supplication. As'aluka. And then he mentioned the supplication. As'aluka bikulli ismin huwa laka samayta bihi nafsaka. I ask you for every name that you have named yourself with. Aw anzaltahu fi kitabika. Or you have revealed it in your book. Aw 'allamtahu ahadan min khalqika. You have taught it to anyone from your creation. Aw istatarta. Aw istatarta bihi fi ilmi. Fi ilmi al-ghayb 'indaka. Or you have kept it with yourself. And the knowledge of the unseen. And تجعل القرآن ربيع قلبي ونور صدري وجلاء حزني وجلاء وجلاء حزني وذهاب همي. That you make, making this, seeking nearness to Allah by these beautiful names, and then to ask, and تجعل القرآن ربيع قلبي. That you make the Quran the ربيع of my heart, the ربيع of my heart, and the light of my chest, and means to remove all of the worry and the concern and anxiety from my heart. And so this is a beautiful supplication, to ask Allah in this manner for this affair, to ask Allah in this manner, to seek nearness to Allah by affirming the ubudiyya. Inni abduka wa ibnu abdika wa ibnu amatika. Affirming the ubudiyya. I am your slave, the son of your slave, and the son of your slave woman. And then you clarify that you are content, and that you surrender and submit to the decree of Allah Azza wa Jalla and His command. His decree, you accept that, and His commands, you accept that, and you're pleased and content with all of that. And you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the Quran the Rabi of your heart. The Rabi of your heart. What does that mean? The Rabi of your heart. The spring of your heart. What is the springtime? How is the Quran the spring of your heart? La ilaha illallah. How is the Quran the spring of your? What happens in springtime? Huh? What happens in springtime? Huh? Life. The earth that was barren comes back to life, and flourishes, and the crops are beautiful, and the life, and it comes to life. In the springtime, the rain comes, and the crops, and the lands, they come to life. They come to life, and they're beautiful, and they flourish, and they're strong and good. So the Quran is like this for those who are truthful with Allah. It'll make your heart come alive and flourish and be good and beautiful. This is a supplication we should learn. And the end of this hadith, the Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he says, قَالَ فَقِيلَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَلَّا نَتَعَلَّمُهَا. They said, O Messenger of Allah, should we not learn this supplication? Should we not learn this supplication? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, بَلَا يَنْبَغِي لِمَنْ سَمِعَهَا أَنْ يَتَعْلَمَهَا. Yes, it's incumbent or befitting for some, it's befitting for someone who heard this that he should learn it. So all of us have heard this. Now we should learn it, memorize it, and supplicate with it whenever we can. May Allah grant us all success. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. عفواً.